God and our Father, we are so grateful that we are alive today to praise your name, to give thanks to you for the wonderful things that you have done in our lives.
The Bible tells us that when we were sinners, Christ died for us. He reached out to us and pulled us out of the wreckages of this world. We are grateful and thankful. We beg you, Father, that the spirit that you have caused to live in us, that every single one of us will find it into flame. I pray, Father, that you be with me as I speak your very word this afternoon. I pray that you take away my flesh, that you help me speak with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just as when Jesus fed 5,000, everyone that was present had their fill. I pray that everyone will have their fill today. I commit this message into your hands. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I mean, you cannot spend about, 20 years in a sector and don't show appreciation and thanks to a lot of people. First of all, I would like to thank, the Southeast sector for allowing me and my wife to serve in various roles that we have served in this sector. We have learned so much. We have been blessed in so many ways. We have been touched in so many ways that we couldn't even imagine, when we became disciples. By the way, Helen was baptized in August of 1986. So it's some time now. And I was baptized on the 25th of April, 1989. And we have been married. We got married on the 25th of January, 1986. Just to give you a little bit there. But I would like to thank the leadership of the Southeast, for allowing me to actually work with them. We are a band of brothers. We have, worked together for 6 years. And I'm grateful for the way that each of them have impacted my life. I would definitely be taking, that with me. I also want to thank, teachers and Kingdom Kids. Because some of them came into Kingdom Kids as helpers. And they are now permanent teachers. People like Mike and Bev, Bewaje, Belinda, Funke, Rachel and Dennis, Marion, Lillian, Gordon, Catherine, Adebusui, Jide and Miriam, Mike Miro, Cynthia Osekwame, Tokes and Yvonne Princewell, and Senes. If I miss out your name, please forgive me. I also want to say that Zona and Tanya have been in Kingdom Kids from day dot. We are grateful for the help and support that they gave us over the times that we've been there. Of late, with the Marist Ministry, I want to thank Anthony and Zoe, Mark and Marcia, Joe and Rosemary, Akimemia, for working with us to organize and plan things for the marriage. It really has been, a joyous time for us. Obviously, people that have touched, my family in so many ways. I think of, Ben Kokurue and his wife, Ronke, for reaching out to my family. I'm so grateful, for people like that, for what they've done. I'm grateful to Marvin and Yema Anta for being great friends. They will tell you exactly like it is, not what you need to hear, what I'm saying. They will just tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And that's what a friend does. Obviously the Canoes, we've been around together, for a long time. We are grateful, for your friendship and, the way that your lives have changed our lives as well. I do have a message. I could go on because I'm friends to all of you, but I could go on. But I have our time allocated for today's message. I need to actually say this. I really want to lift, Neka, as a young Christian, just to see your zeal, your passion. I mean, it really reminds me of the heart that we need to have. You know what I'm saying? I need to say that. And Helena as well, you just coming into the church. I've observed both of you guys, and I'm grateful for the spirit that God has caused to live in you. Guys, we need to emulate them. The title of my message, Faith, Hope, and Love. I personally believe that they are essential qualities that we need to build a good relationship with God and with people around us. What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 describes faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, the word faith reminds me of words like confidence in God, trust in God, reliance, devotion, dedication, total assurance in God, and not about you or me. Let's take example of David. David and Goliath, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with that story. David trusted God wholeheartedly. He knew that by himself, he could not stand against Goliath. Just imagine, on one side of the hill were the Philistines. On the other side, the Israelites. For 40 days, Goliath would come down to the valley where the battle was to take place and defy the army of the living God. And every one of them would cower. David went to the camp to give his brothers food. When he heard this, he said, "What? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the army of the living God? Let me loose so that I can show him who is God in Israel." And the king said, "Well, you are only a boy." They were doing everything possible to prevent him from going. They even dressed him in borrowed robes. He said, "No, I don't need that. I want to go with my God." Hear what he says. If you are taking notes, it's in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 to 37, but you don't need to turn there. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out and fight this Philistine. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the army of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." You can't hear someone talk like that and still want to restrain them. Saul had to say, "Okay, I've heard you. Go, and the Lord be with you." What kind of faith is that? Faith that is reliant on God. And we know the stress of his story. He went just the way he knew how to go best. And I think sometimes we are looking for something miraculous to appear from somewhere. And God has already given you that faith. Just go as you are. And you will see God do amazing things in your life. He went, and with God on his side, he was able to defeat Goliath. He went on to write in Psalm 18. He says, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God, turn my darkness into light. With your help, I can scale a wall. With my God, I can advance against a troop." What kind of faith is that? Faith that is unshakable. Faith that is total reliance in God. I believe that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Amen. See, faith is a requirement of a disciple of Jesus Christ or anyone that is thinking of being in a relationship with God. You know, our faith must be backed up by our deeds. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who believe in him must trust that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." In my time in the South East, I have seen, you know, men of faith. I have seen a man of faith. I have seen a man when everything was against him that stood up with my God. It will not end up the way you guys think it will end up. I don't know whether for those of us that have been around 1999, if you don't mind me just asking a show of hands, 1999, okay? A lot of us can relate to this. But for some of us, we cannot relate to this. This time last 1999, up to this moment, a young man, a young boy, I should say, was diagnosed of meningitis. We were going there to the hospital back and forth. 1999, meningitis in England was rampant. It was just there like wildfire. Everybody was kind of protecting their kids. Just like you're talking about swine flu now. That's the way meningitis was in 1999. We went one day. The father of this young man was in tears. Say, what's going on? The doctor said, well, my son is going to die. That they don't have any hope. They were going to pull the life support machine, switch the thing off. But you see what I told them? I looked them in the eye. I said, with my God, I can scale a wall. You medical professionals may think this way, but my God has a plan. Who am I talking about? Our brother Sam Kanu. Sam and Emily Kanu. They looked the doctors in the eyes and they told them that this will not end up the way you guys think it will end up. And today, Joseph is alive. I think they deserve a round of applause. Why do they deserve a round of applause? Because they put their faith in God. And faith does not disappoint. What kind of faith do you have? How is your faith right now? I pray that we all will develop faith that trusts God completely. Again, I've seen, as I said, men of faith. I think of, Ben and Angela. I think of Yusuf and his wife. They are guys that moved, from Nigeria. They're going through some challenging times that none of us can relate to. But they are hanging in there. That God will open the right door. Every time I speak to these guys, it moves my heart. It challenges me. I say, how can you be in this situation? And you are still praising God. Many will have crumbled, but they are standing firm. And I pray that God will open the right door for them so that we can learn from their pain. One day they will stand up here and inspire us how God has sustained them. And I'm sure we all have similar stories of faith. Well, I haven't got time to share all of that with you guys, but you can share it amongst yourselves because we need these things to remind ourselves of who we serve. What is hope? Well, most people understand hope as wishful thinking. As in, I hope something will happen someday, sometime. I'm hoping that it will happen. This is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. Think about that for a moment. Things that are unclear and unknown. Romans 8:24, if you want to write this out as reference, I'm going to just read it. It says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Isn't that right? I believe hope is a fundamental component of a life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Without hope, life loses its meaning. Whatever situation we are in, we need to have total trust and confidence in God. In the time I've been in this office, I also remember a couple. I first met them in 1995. The husband was baptized in 94, the wife 95. They've been married for about 7 years up to that point, and they did not have a child. I remember going to this brother to get some tea time with him, and I was one of the few people in his life in those days. You know, just encouraging him, going to the park every morning. I mean, I was living in Balam in those days, and he was living in Forest Hill area. 6 o'clock, I would go up and meet him. You know, we met up and prayed. So in those days, I think we need to get back to those things. Traveling to encourage one another. Distance should not be a problem, guys. If you have friendship with somebody, if you really care about somebody, distance should not be a problem. We met, praying, Helen meets, you know, with his wife. Every time we meet, the number one thing on their heart, why me? God is going, why God? Why is God treating me this way? I said, well, you know, God has a plan. In his time, he will do it. They held on to their faith. They held on to that hope. Sometimes it's kind of hard to have a distinction between faith and hope. You know what I'm saying? But they are close-knit. I'm here to tell you that within 5 years of them becoming disciples and committing their hearts and trusting God, God blessed them. They now have 2 kids today. Who am I talking about? I hold them, guys, you know. No, I'll tell you. Isaac and Cynthia Usekwame. I remember those days. Tears. But today, God has really done amazing things in your lives. And I pray now that God will give you the wisdom to raise your kids. He will give you the knowledge and everything you need. And hey, that God will obviously bind the family together. You know, together, you know what I mean. I'm not going to go anymore. You know, guys, hope is amazing. When you hope in God, you do not give up. Have you given up on some things in your life? Or are you still hanging in there? My encouragement to all of you is that we hang in there. You know, 1 Timothy 1:1 tells us that it talks about Jesus being our hope. Obviously, in the life that we live today, we need to have faith and hope. But the truth is, we all will expire one day. Amen? I don't want to use the other word, you know. Sometimes you put fear in people's mind. But what happens afterwards? Are we hoping for eternal life in Christ Jesus? That's what awaits us. Not only are we to have hope, because when we are hoping for something, you don't give up. You continue to fight with God on your side. But sometimes we fight that fight alone. We don't take God with us. And we wonder why it's becoming so difficult. My encouragement and my prayer is that we understand that we have God on our side. Amen. To help us in this battle. What is love? Love is presented in the scriptures as the very nature of God. Love is also presented as the greatest of Christian qualities. I believe it's essential to man's relationship to God as well as man's relationship to man. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. That's where the title of the message came from, faith, hope, and love. You cannot read a passage like that and don't examine yourself against what the scripture says. It's great that we're doing a Erosion to Exiles. Fantastic. If you are not committed to it, I will encourage you to repent and commit yourself to it. Because when God's people are going through a particular plan, you don't want to be left out. God wants you to plug in and learn something from it. But one thing I've been, learning, I've read the book of Kings and Chronicles so many times. This time around, I'm beginning to get the understanding that David was actually held up as a standard of righteousness. Jeroboam was held up as a standard of what not to do. But today, Jesus is held up as a standard for us. Jesus is our standard. When I read this, I said, wow. How did Jesus love? If Jesus is the standard, that's what I need to measure myself against. The Pharisees are good at something. They measure their commitment to, by looking at someone else's commitment. So what are you going to do? I'm going to do more. What are you going to do? Looking at each other. That's how the Pharisees were, trying to outplay each other. But men and women of God, Jesus is our standard. What does love compel us to do? I believe love makes us approach each other from a position of weakness and not a position of strength. Love is the nature of God, and love will continue forever. Love submits to one another in love. And love, we can only do that because the Bible says we should do it out of reverence for Christ. Love is the greatest of all Christian virtues. And now you know what? I believe is the one that we least understand. I believe we need to love as Christ loved us or loved us. I'm sure his love is still around with us. We still feel his love today. You see, when Jesus was being crucified, he was still feeling sorry. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they were piercing him, he didn't retaliate. The The Bible tells us he committed himself to him who judges justly. The more I look at how Jesus loves us and the example that he's left us, I feel really challenged in so many ways. And it just brings to the fore my shortcomings. You know, with all that has gone on with the leadership team over the years, I think it is evident to all of us that we could have been more patient with one another. The truth is, I believe, you know, our interactions could have been better. And for me, I see that as sin against, you know, God, against you guys, as a fellowship. We could have conducted ourselves, you know, in better ways, I believe. But I think over time, we will come to appreciate each other more. In all of this, though, I need to look at the part that I played in this. Obviously, hey, I cannot. It would be wrong of me to confess someone else's sins. I can only look at myself. But this situation has exposed a lot of things about my character that I really want to change. And I need your prayers. I think I have been impatient in so many ways. I have been quick to speak and slow to listen. I have been frustrated and angry so many times. And I want to ask you guys to please forgive me. I could have trusted other people's motives more. I could have given benefits of the doubt even more. But I believe that God has brought us to this point for a specific purpose. Personally, I believe we are at a crossroad of decision making. What do I mean by that? I believe every single one of us, we are at a point of decision making. Whether to grow, to change and grow. Because when God is showing you certain things, God is showing you those things for a purpose. If you don't take them to heart and change, you will not grow. You will stagnate. Or even worse, you will shrink. And I appreciate Morris's communion. Do we want to stay the same? Staying the same is not the right option. I really appreciate your communion. Straight to the heart. My encouragement, my prayer is that every single one of us will sit down with ourselves, put pen to paper, and write down the things that you feel are holding you back. You know, we want to run this race that God has got mapped out for us. But the Bible says we need to run them with perseverance. But you cannot have something tied around your ankle and be running at the pace that you want to run. That thing will hold you back. I'm sure I'm not the only one that have got things holding me back. As I was preparing this sermon, I had to come up with all this stuff. And I'm going to be praying that God will change my heart. I must say, going to Denver was fantastic for Helen and I. Because the brothers preached what we call expository messages. Which means to go deeper into the Bible. To dig deep. Not just, you know, just read your Bible. And I made a decision coming back from Denver that, you know what, God? I want to have a new heart and a new spirit. I had to memorize Ezra 7 verse 10. It says, Ezra devoted himself to the study and the observance of the laws and teaching it to the people. I said, God, give me that heart. Because unless we are changing, we are going to remain the same. And then we see people go past us. Say, well, it's only been around 5 minutes. No, you are the one holding yourself back. And I know some of us have been visiting this church for a long time. I want to talk to you. Don't hold anything back. Your fears, we had them. Your anxieties, we had them. Your worries, we had them. Your concerns, we had them. But I tell you something. Are you really happy with the life you live right now? The life you will live in Christ Jesus is a life that God designed for you to live. Is it going to be easy? No. But with God, it will be easier. I didn't say easy. Easier. But when you remain in Christ and you are rooted in Christ, as Mark said, the path will part. You know, the river will part. And you will just go through on dry ground with your God. I don't know when next I'm going to come here and preach. But when I do come back, it might be a week, it might be 3 months, I don't know. I want to see a lot of you as baptized disciples. Because that's what God wants. You know, I went out running this morning, and I was just thinking, I'm praying. You know, 3 weeks ago, I made a decision. You know, coming back from Denver, you had to make decisions and run with them. I said, I'm going to be, you know. 3 weeks ago, I came to church on Sunday. Ben looked at me. Why are you walking as if there's some pain? I said, yes. I went out yesterday, and I went out today. The pain. He said, well, you stop doing these things. That's why. If you do them regularly, that's a brother. You know, if you do them regularly, the pains, you know, they're going to ease up. I said, I hear you, bro. I mean, in 3 weeks, I've only missed 3 days of training, which is encouraging for me because those are, you know, one of the decisions I made. But the thing is, we cannot leave our decision to becoming a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ. We can't just leave it to chance. We need to take action. We need to make decisions. It's not about you. You know, something happened about 3 weeks ago on a Tuesday. My sister-in-law's dad was knocked down in Sydney, and he died. We got a call from her. She lives in Northampton, just describing the whole thing. I said, well, I'm really sorry. He was meant to fly out to Nigeria the next day, Wednesday. He only went out to post a letter, and he was knocked down. I said, wow, nobody knows how long we are going to be here for. Guys, today is the day of decision. I didn't share that just to put fear in you. I share that to let you know what the reality of things are. Every day that we are living on borrowed time. And I pray that you will turn your heart to Christ and let God take control. I want to be sure of where I'm going when I die. I want to be sure that I'm going to be in heaven. I don't want my kids or my friends, oh, where is he? We don't know. The life that we live will be an evidence of where we are going. And I want to appeal to all of you, members of this church, please, stay on that course. Friends that are visiting, make a decision. Children that are here, who are still not sure, look at the faith of your parents. You know, I was in a study with Ben, you know, the other day. I was saying, why do kids of preachers actually find it hard to become Christians? One, it's either they see hypocrisy, or two, they are taking the grace and the life of their parents for granted. That's the two reasons I could come up with. But I think it's a fact. It's either we are taking the grace of our parents for granted. I want to encourage you to respond to the grace and the life of your parents. And if they are living a hypocritical life, tell them. Open your Bible and find out. And let them know that they are not living according to the scriptures. By that, you can even save them and save yourself. You see, my prayer is that we all make decisions to change and grow. I really want to appeal to you as friends and as a brother to get rid of everything that hinders your growth so that you can run with perseverance this race that God has got mapped out for you. You know, I believe God wants us to demonstrate our love, you know, to each other in many ways, just as Christ showed his love to his disciples. You know, Ephesians 4, you can just write this down, I'll read it. It says, the Bible commands us, Ephesians 4:15, the Bible commands us to speak the truth in love, not to cower or tiptoe around each other, but lovingly tell each other the truth about our lives. Are we letting people into our lives? I mean, just hearing Mark pray, I got inspired through his prayer because he gave his heart. When he was praying about Herbert getting a job, I was just saying, praise God. Because I've been praying for Herbert since I knew about his situation. If Herbert has kept it to himself, maybe God is waiting for one of our prayers to be answered to open the right door to him. But he's a brother that knew, you know, the value of fellowship. He shared his situation, and we all started praying. I'm glad that God has blessed you. Amen. He's blessed your perseverance. It's not when victory is won that we share the stories with one another. That doesn't really be his friend. That's not friendship. It's as you are going through it. But oftentimes, we are too scared or worried to share. You know what that tells me? What is the level of our friendship then? Jesus washed his disciples' feet. The Bible commands us that we need to serve one another. You know, I really appreciate this about, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, as he was addressing, you know, husband and wives. He says that they should, well, he said, husbands should wash their wives with the word. And I believe that's applicable to all of us. And I appreciate, you know, Kenny Akinloye. He's not here. I remember a time where we had an issue between us. And he looked at me. One, in Nigeria, you don't look at an elderly person in the eye. You just have to. But he had to summon courage. And he looked at me and said, brother, I have something against you. I said, what is it? He sat me down and I listened to him. And at the end of the day, I said, wow, what is God teaching me here? Everything I shared with him were from the scriptures, but the Bible was not open. And he went away feeling discouraged. So when he shared them with me, I said, wow, I did not use the word of God to wash my brother clean. I was using opinion. And from then on, I made a decision that no way, Jose, anyone I get with, the Bible has to be open. Because the Bible has more authority than my opinion. And sometimes we could camp out on our opinion and expect people to respond to our opinion when the word of God is there. I really want to thank him for teaching me that. You know, the Bible says we should comfort one another. For me, comfort means showing genuine concern for each other's well-being. To comfort someone means to lift their spirit when they are down. I want to encourage us to really take that to heart. When someone is down, lift their spirits. The Bible tells us we need to encourage one another daily, all the more as we see the day approaching. Let that be the watchword of our fellowship, that we are there to encourage one another on a consistent basis. You know, Obama came into power under the banner of change. I believe Cameron is going to come into power under the banner of change. But we as disciples, we know that change is what we need every day, isn't it? So God has given us a head start in all of this. We need to change so that we can be the right people for God. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus told his disciples, he says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are really my disciples. Men will know
that you are really Jesus' disciples when we love one another.
The more I look at, you know, the word love and one another scriptures, one thing that comes to mind is what Jesus said to his disciples. So I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Because a servant does not know the deeds of the master. But friends, they know everything about each other. The platform for us to build on is on the platform of friendship. And we all need to fight for it. In my study of friendships, I see that it means different things to different people. Okay? So whoever you are building that friendship with, please make sure you have a common understanding. If not, expectations will be skewed. I thought I'm being your friend. Oh no, that's not how I measure friendship. I thought I'm being your friend. Oh no, that's not how I measure friendship. Have a common ground. And the word of God is that common ground, you know, that we all have. In closing, I want to thank Daniel, James, and Richard for the part they have played in my growth. I live with them daily. If you ask them whether I'm a perfect father, they will tell you no. If you ask them, does your father love God? They will say yes. Does your father fear God? They will say yes. I want to thank you for the part you've played, because unknowingly, you have taught me a lot. They will look me in the eye and tell me when I'm going wrong. And I appreciate that. Because there's no one that knows you better than someone that is close to you. Many times I've stepped on their toes. They have taught me what humility is. To say sorry to my kids. Man, that's unheard of for an African man. But I'm grateful that just watching the three of you, to see you grow. And I know it's just a matter of time. And I trust that God will do it. I want to thank my wonderful wife. Not only is she a pretty woman, I got the bonus that she's a spiritual woman. I really want to thank you, you know, for being there for me. For being, you know, what I need in my life. You've counseled me in so many ways. You've challenged me. You've lifted me up. And I really want people to know how much I appreciate you. How much I love you. And I pray that we grow all together. You know. Love, guys, is the oil that keeps faith and hope alive. I want to encourage all of you to embrace what God has given you from this message today. The Spirit is moving me to say thank you to Ingrid as well. I remember as a young Christian, you know, pregnant, you know, with your kids. Remember the days we come to Stockwell and give you a ride to St. Joseph's Academy. You know, we've come a long way. And just to see that you are hanging in there. Amen. I pray that God will hear your prayers. Amen. God will bless you in so many ways. That's all I have time for. Thank you.